Welcome to ICTJ's podcast series, in which we discuss transitional justice developments from around the world. Today we are speaking with Virginie Ladish, head of ICTJ's Children and Transitional Justice Program, about the findings of a pioneering report, Through a New Lens, a Child-Sensitive Approach to Transitional Justice. Thank you for joining us, Virginie.
Thank you.
The latest research documents that children and youth under 19 are among the most vulnerable groups in conflict-affected countries. Yet children are often overlooked in transitional justice mechanisms dealing with the aftermath of conflict and repression. Why is it important to include children in transitional justice processes undertaken in transitional societies?
Increasingly, children are, especially in conditions of armed conflict, are being more directly targeted and affected by massive human rights violations and conflict. Therefore, they're making up a greater percentage of the victim population, which we need to look at in designing our transitional justice approaches. Given the demographic realities, in many contexts where we work, they constitute up to half, sometimes even more than half of the population. So if we're aiming to effectuate broad social change, it's essential that we work with half of the population. We can't ignore this majority.
Children often have a compelling need to tell their stories, to speak publicly about their experiences. Can you share with us what have been successes in different contexts?
Yeah, I'd say Liberia is one of the cases where there's the most to learn in terms of successes as well as lessons, given the focus they gave to children in their Truth and Reconciliation Commission. So the Liberian TRC is one of the few truth commissions that specifically included the violations against children in its mandate, as well as a need to give them the space and the protection to give public testimony to the TRC. So not only did they include that focus from the start, they then implemented it in practice, in large part through collaboration with local child protection agencies. So the TRC formed a task force with the Child Protection Network that helped, the Child Protection Network helped the TRC develop effective ways of engaging children, for example, by helping children give public testimony in a way that still protected their confidentiality. There also were some challenges, of course. Notably, one is on the importance of planning ahead and including this focus on children as early as possible in the work of a truth commission.
Mm-hmm. One particularly disturbing practice common to many conflicts is the recruitment of child soldiers. Can you give us some examples of how transitional justice mechanisms have approached and dealt with the legacy of such practices and the traumas they cause?
So what we found actually is, well, it's a huge advancement for international justice that the crime of illegal recruitment is given attention and becoming more of a focus. On the ground, what we saw both in Colombia and in the DRC was that for fear of prosecution, commanders hid the children recruits that they had or let them go before an official demobilization process so that they wouldn't officially be recognized as armed combatants as part of their group. Therefore, putting the child victims, the children that had been recruited at great risk and without the support they needed. So that's a huge challenge that we have no clear answers for, but it's a dilemma that we need to be aware of and think about the consequences as we try and establish this norm globally.
How can transitional justice mechanisms, such as reparations programs, work to alleviate long-term societal consequences of harm suffered in conflict or repression?
Well, I think when thinking about reparations, to date, few programs have specifically looked at the violations affecting children. And I think that's something that needs to change, notably in the form of lost opportunities. So whereas an adult who might be caught in a conflict has a career, a job that they can hopefully go back to once the conflict is resolved and sort of state of rule of law is established. But if a child is prevented from going to school for several years, then when the conflict ends or when the regime topples, they're left without any tools to engage as productive members of society. So that's where we need to, I think, look at creative approaches to reparations, for example, through accelerated education programs or job training that could give these children and youth the resources they would need in order to become productive members of society. And one more thing also that's complicated in thinking about reparations is often the time lag between the end of conflict or the end of authoritarian regime and by the time a reparations program is established. So those who were victimized as children may by then be adults. So we're arguing that it's actually important to think about those who were victimized as children and give them the reparations that are tailored to focus on the lost opportunities, even if at the time a reparations program is in place, they're 25 or 26.
This groundbreaking assessment offers very important lessons and recommendations on how transitional justice measures can include children effectively. Can you take us through the main points that policymakers and designers of transitional justice measures should take into account?
So in general terms, the main recommendation that we're making in this paper is for policymakers and those designing TJ mechanisms to include children and youth as one of the key considerations or lenses that informs their analysis of the situation and then the subsequent decisions they take regarding the design of the TJ measure. So overall, what we are recommending is that TJ actors and policymakers ask new questions about how the conflict affected children and youth. What role did they play? Were they bystanders? Were they part of the resistance? Were they actively involved in the combat? And then to also broaden the circle of those who are around the table in discussing a TJ measure, to include those that haven't previously been included, such as child protection agencies, the education sector, to think about how to integrate what comes out of a truth commission or criminal justice process into the education sector so that these messages can be transmitted to the broader society.
ICTJ's new report, Through a New Lens, A Child-Sensitive Approach to Transitional Justice, is available online at www.ictj.org. Thanks so much for speaking with us, Virginie.
Thank you.